remind you again that we're going to be celebrating the coming marriage of Madison and Aaron after church this morning with a covered dish dinner. And if you happen to have forgotten about that or didn't come and bring anything, I can assure you that we will have plenty of food. As a matter of fact, looking at our crowd this morning, we'll have a whole bunch of food probably left over if you don't stay and eat. So stay and eat with us, and we'll have a great time of fellowship together. I appreciate everyone that is here, and we're always we always look forward to these times together, and be praying for Aaron and Madison as they enter into marriage and establishing their home. All right, turn your Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And of course, we have been going through the book of Ephesians and doing messages from Ephesians for several weeks now. And we're not doing a verse-by-verse study. We're doing some topical messages and going through the book of Ephesians, which I think is one of the most important books in the Bible. They're all important, but there are certain truths revealed about the church, the body of Christ, and the ministry of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians that we don't find anywhere else. And last week we got down through verse 12, but I want to read from verse 1 as kind of a starting place, and we'll take up in verse 13. And again, it's not verse by verse, but a topical type study. And so for those of you that listen over the internet, if you've missed some messages and want to go back and listen to them, they are all archived on our website. Those that are watching on the website, you obviously know where they are. They're archived there. And for those that watch over Facebook, if you want to find the messages, you can find them on our website, which is understandingyourbible.com. All one word, and all of our messages for the last 10, 11, 12 years, whatever, are on there. All right, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And here's what that mystery is, basically. It says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So based on that verse, we know there was information communicated through the Apostle Paul to others, and it was not made known prior to salvation. We know that because he said in verse 3, by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Paul wrote 13 books in your Bible, Romans through Philemon. And this mystery has to do with salvation in this present dispensation of grace. He says there in verse 6 that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Now, that's a very important verse because it shows us how salvation comes about today. And it is by the gospel. It is no longer by keeping the law. It is no longer by being affiliated with the nation Israel. It is by the gospel, and of course that gospel is 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, how that Christ died for our sins according to scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So, as we go forward, notice what he says. He says, whereof I was made a minister. Paul is not being egotistical. He's not trying to point to himself. What he is trying to do is cause people to understand the importance of the revelation given unto him that was not made known prior to him. He says there in verse 7, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. So we know it was given to Paul because of who he was or what his background was. He said he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, as touching the law, blameless. And yet he said, I persecuted the church and wasted it. And he said he was a blasphemer. In verse 7 he says, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me. Notice again, Paul is putting the emphasis on the ministry he received. Not on his flesh, but unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, that he was what he was by the grace of God. And so he says that that ministry was given to himself, who was less than the least of all saints. And he's saying that in relation to what he had done leading up to his conversion. Verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So in the body of Christ, God has intended that there be a fellowship. That fellowship has to do with a oneness, with people operating together to fulfill the purpose of God. It's identified in your Bible as the body of Christ. If you look back in chapter 1, Paul says he's put all things under his feet, gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So that is separate and distinct from the church that started there in Jerusalem with the 12. Paul is saved later on after that and was given this dispensation of grace, given the gospel of the grace of God, and the purpose was to make all men see that now in this dispensation, all men are saved in the same manner. There's not some that you know, get in by one means and others by another. It's all based on his grace and his mercy. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. That is, those who first trusted in Christ, those who perhaps had been law keepers and then saw through Paul that the law was not the way. And Paul said it was taken out of the way, nailed to the cross. And he says there in verse 90, it's to make all men see what not is necessarily the mystery, but the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid. So there again, over and over, we see the same thing being repeated. There was truth that was not made known. It was hidden, but now it's revealed through the Apostle Paul and by the Holy Spirit of God in his Word. Then he says in verse 10, to the intent. In other words, what was the intent of this body of Christ being formed by the preaching of the gospel and people being saved by grace? Well, the intent was that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. That is the all-inclusive truth about God's dealings with mankind. And the reason there is so much confusion in the religious world today is because people do not acknowledge that God dealt with men in different ways throughout the ages. There are those that teach that salvation has always been by grace through faith. And while salvation was never a standalone thing without the grace of God, there was never a dispensation of grace prior to the salvation of Paul. And he says in verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So God had a plan. He had a purpose. He had a purpose in the salvation of the body of Christ. It's called the eternal purpose of God. And then in verse 12, Paul says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Paul talks about several times about the faith of Christ. And people want to change that and make it faith in Christ. But the faith of Christ is what brought about our salvation. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Paul talks about being justified. Let's just turn back there and read it. Galatians chapter 2. Verse 16, he says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified, how? By the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And it does not say by faith in Christ, it says the faith of Jesus Christ. I believe that Jesus Christ went to the cross by faith, believing that if he died on that cross, God would raise him again. As a matter of fact, he prayed, Father, restore unto me the glory that I had with you before the foundation of the world. And so the Lord Jesus Christ believed God and trusted in God to raise him from the dead. Now, over back in Ephesians 3, Paul said there in verse 12, in whom, that is in Christ, we have boldness and access of confidence by the faith of him. That is, we're not dependent upon our own faith, even though we must exercise faith in his faith, but we're not dependent upon our faith alone. And then in verse 13 he says, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Now that kind of sets in motion the next six or seven verses as Paul concludes this chapter, and that's what we're going to do today. And he says in verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. In other words, Paul is saying that there are sufferings that are going to be associated with following the doctrine that was given unto him. He said, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 13, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Now, what does he mean that you faint not by his tribulation? Well, we know that Paul was imprisoned. We know that people were being killed because of their faith. We know that the 12 were being punished, being imprisoned, being martyred, if you will, being put to death. And so, as Paul writes this letter back, the church at Ephesus, which he had been to previously in Acts chapter 20, it's recorded about his ministry there in Ephesus. And Fred read this morning from Acts chapter 20 about being justified by the blood, by God's own blood. And so, when Paul writes back to that church, he's writing to people that no doubt have heard of his imprisonment. And as followers of him, obviously there would be a natural tendency for them to shy away from proclaiming that which they had heard and known, knowing that Paul had been imprisoned and was possibly facing death, which he was. So he said, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you. In other words, what Paul suffered, he suffered as an ambassador for Christ. He suffered to get the message out, proclaiming the grace of God and the dispensation of the grace of God. Hold on here, if you will, or put a marker here, and go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul says there in verse 3, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." Notice, who comforted us in what? All our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. In other words, the sufferings of Christ, He died on the cross for our sins, the proclamation that Jesus Christ was the Messiah and was put to death by His own people and the Roman soldiers was bringing about persecution. We think we have persecution today, and there is some persecution, but it's nothing to compare with what went on in the first century. And Paul says there in verse 6, "And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation." You see, Paul began the passage there in verse 3 talking about the comfort in all our tribulation. Verse 4, "He comforted us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them." And that's what Paul was trying to do, was comfort them based on the tribulations that they faced. As a matter of fact, look down verse 7. Paul said, "Our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raised the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver us, whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. He also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf." So Paul was facing sufferings all the way back when he wrote the book of Corinthians, which was written during the book of Acts. In Ephesians chapter 3, in verse 1, Paul starts out that chapter, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ." And in turn over to the book of Philippians, and Philippians chapter 1 has a lot to do with Paul's sufferings and his imprisonments and his persecution. Okay, well, before we start in Philippians, because we're going to be there for several verses, let's go over to Colossians 1 first. Colossians 1, verse 24. Paul, speaking of himself, he says, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church." Now, Paul is not saying that his sufferings are on the same level as Christ's were. But what he is saying there, that he says, "I fill up that which is behind the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church." In other words, what Christ did on the cross in dying for the sins of the entire world, having the sins of the world placed upon him, would have been of no value had there not been somebody to proclaim it. Think about that. Christ goes to the cross, and so during the first century, the church of Jerusalem is suffering persecution. So they say, "Well, this just isn't worth it. We're going to quit. We're not willing to die for our faith." But no, that's not what they said. They said, "We are going to obey God rather than men." And so because of that, they were martyred. But there was those that came after them and continued the ministry of the 12. On the other hand, Paul got saved in Acts 9 and was given the gospel of the grace of God. He said his ministry in Acts 20 was to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So when Paul was preaching this gospel, he said it was for his body's sake, which is the church, verse 25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to what? To fulfill the word of God. That is to fill up the word of God, to bring to pass the fulfillment of the scriptures. And that's what Paul did. And because of that, Paul ended up in prison, and eventually it cost him his life. So that's the suffering that Paul is referring to. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, in 1 Thessalonians, chapter 3, notice there in verse 1, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. Why couldn't he forbear? Because of the persecutions. And he sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you, and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we were appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. You see, I don't think people stop and think long enough and hard enough about all that was suffered in the first century in contending for the faith. And the very word that we preach today goes back to the faithfulness of men that were willing to die for what they believed in. And the Apostle Paul is a prime example of that. Now go back to Philippians chapter 1. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. He's been to Philippi. He's writing back to that church. He said in verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until what? The day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace, that is, the grace bestowed upon Paul. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, and that ye may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Now, notice verse 12. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. You see, Paul did not take the woe is me attitude. What happened to Paul, he said, was, it was bad, it was terrible suffering, but he said, it happened unto me, it had fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the, in other words, through Paul's persecution and imprisonment, there was a furtherance of the gospel. Now what was that? He said, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. The palace there would refer to what at that time was called the Praetorian Guard. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. In other words, they saw what Paul was facing. He was able to endure it, and they were willing to do the same. And then it makes an interesting statement here. He said, some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. In other words, there were those that were proclaiming the gospel that Paul preached so that Paul would suffer, so that they would punish Paul, putting himself in jeopardy. That's what people go to try to destroy the truth of the gospel. He said, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for what? The defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice and will rejoice. So Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, is willing to preach and teach that which was given to him for the furtherance of the gospel, and is thankful for those that did the same. Now, in Acts 28:20, when for previous study, we saw that Paul said for the hope of Israel, he was bound with a chain. He was imprisoned. What was the hope of Israel? It was preaching the resurrection. That is the foundational truth of what Paul preached. That was the foundational truth for what Peter preached. Christ was the Messiah. He was God manifest in the flesh. And those, there are people today, as Fred was pointing out this morning, that will deny that Jesus Christ was God. They might say he was of the lineage and so forth, but they deny the truth of Jesus Christ being God in the flesh. Well, he was, and he died, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day. And Paul understood that, and he realized the importance of preaching it, and that's why in Ephesians 3:1 he said he was the prisoner of Jesus Christ. Paul accepted this ministry and all that went with it, and he was willing to suffer all of these things that he suffered for Christ's sake and for the church, the body of Christ. Look back in 2 Corinthians. Hold on, Philippians. Look back in 2 Corinthians. Paul, everywhere he went, was having his ministry questioned, as he did at Corinth. And he says, look in verse 16. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 16. I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. Skip down to verse 20. He says, for ye suffer, if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Now notice Paul's vindication of his apostleship. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. So that tells me that those others that were preaching Christ, resurrection from the dead, were not suffering to the extent Paul was. Now notice what he says. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. You know that the custom was they'd always give 39 stripes because it was against the law to give more than 40. So to be saved, they would do 39. And he says, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes. Now folks, just think about that. How many times receiving 40 stripes would it take for you to say, this just ain't worth it? This happened to Paul five different times. He was beaten. And they were not, he said, look in verse 25. He said, thrice I was beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, those things which are upon, which cometh upon me daily, take care of all the churches. Who is weak? I am not weak. Who is offended? I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. Now this is the same Paul that wrote to the Corinthians and said, be ye followers of me. Now that's not a glowing endorsement to get followers. Paul said, this is what's happened to me. All of those things have happened to me for the furtherance of the gospel. Now you follow me. Now, you know, that's just beyond our comprehension, I think. And we think about the physical sufferings that the Apostle Paul went through. And yet we go back over to Philippians and notice over there in Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 10, Paul said, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. You see, we think about that in relation to, well, we have a house, we have a car to drive, we have food to eat, whatsoever state I am there. Think about where Paul was when he wrote that. He's in prison. He's been beat. He's been left for dead at times. He's had to escape from city after city to escape his debt, to escape death. And he says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Whether in prison or out of prison. Whether being punished or not being punished. Now notice what he says. I know both how to be abased. Well, we just read about that in 2 Corinthians 11, didn't we? I'd say Paul had a pretty good idea of what it was to be abased. I know how to be abased. And I know how to abound. You know, I think about that, and people today, we try to share our faith with others, and somebody says something harsh against us, or that. We don't suffer, folks, anything compared to what the apostles did before us. I mean, we're living in a country where we're free to speak what we believe, and sometimes the consequences are great, but Paul said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Notwithstanding, we have well done that we did communicate with my affliction. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, we've now parted from Macedonia, No church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. So the Apostle Paul, there's some things about this. Back in verse 11, he said, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." You know, that's a hard concept for some of us. It's hard. You know, when things are going great in life and everything's pretty good and we've got roof over our head and food to eat and everything, it's easy to be content. Well, I shouldn't say it's easy, because some people are never content. We live in a more society, you know, got to have more, more, more. But what Paul said is, I've learned how to be content. It's a learning process. And part of that process, I think, is to always look at the world around you and understand that there's always others who are suffering far greater than you are. I was telling the guys back this morning, I have had a problem with sciatica for the last 6 or 8 weeks. Sometimes the pain is just almost unbearable. And I try to go out and do a little work, and within 10 or 15 minutes, I've got to sit down. And you know, I'm not telling you it's for sympathy, because everybody's got the, you know, you get to my age, you are glad when you wake up and not everything hurts. But the point is the thing that I have always tried to maintain in life is the thought that there's a lot of people out there much worse off than I am. And we complain and we fret about not having this or having that. And there are people out there today that are homeless. There are people out there that are hungry. There are people today that are on a deathbed dying from cancer or some other disease. We need to learn to be content. Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And that's not to say that we shouldn't try to improve ourselves and do better and that kind of thing. But sometimes, I remember my daughter told me at one point, you know, we were talking about things, and she said, you know, I realized a long time ago that happiness is a choice. Happiness comes from contentment. And you can learn how to be content in whatsoever state you are, by trusting upon the Lord and in the Lord and resting in Him. And Paul said on the basis of that. And verse 13, I think, is one of the most misused verses in the Bible. I remember when we built our auditorium there in the church I was in Birmingham. We had grown to well over 1,000 people, and we were building an auditorium to seat 2,000 and spending the money and everything. And at the beginning of the construction, they erected a huge sign out there, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. Well, that's not what the verse is talking about. The verse is talking about we can do all things through Christ, to do that which Christ, in other words, Christ never strengthened us to do some things. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. Well, what did He strengthen Paul to do? To endure the sufferings. He strengthened Paul to learn to do without, whether he was hungry, whether he was thirsty, whether he was being beaten upon. He realized why he was the prisoner of Jesus Christ, and he gloried in that. It was for the furtherance of the gospel, as he pointed out there in Philippians 1, verse 12, when he said, the things that have happened to me have fallen out, rather, to the furtherance of the gospel. He was a prisoner because of what he preached and what he taught. And so we have the example of the Apostle Paul as a great example. Now go back there to Ephesians. Paul says there in verse 13, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. The whole family of God would be referred back to chapter 2 when Paul talks about we're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. I believe that has to do with everybody saved in every dispensation. And it's called the kingdom of God. And one day it's going to be one glorious kingdom. And Christ is going to rule and reign over that kingdom. And it's by His name. It's of whom the whole family in heaven is named. That He would grant unto you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That comes through an inworking of the Holy Spirit by the truth of God's Word being indwelling us and empowering us. That's what He says there in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. You see, folks, I do not believe any of us. I don't believe anybody's ever comprehended the love of Christ to the extent that we will when we know Him face to face. The love that He had to go there and die on that cross and suffer for our sins and endure what He endured. And He says His desire is that we might know that love of Christ which passes knowledge, you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now notice verse 20 and 21. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And that concludes those three chapters. And what we're going to see in the weeks to come is that the book of Ephesians has six chapters. And it's divided in the first chapters, showing us who we are in Christ, what Christ did for us, what Christ did through the Apostle Paul. And the truth that was committed to Paul was that mystery doctrine of him having died not for just Israel, but for the whole world, and that the world through him might be saved simply by faith in what Christ did. Chapters 1, 2, and 3 make it clear that it is by the gospel that we are saved, not by our works. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. Doesn't have anything to do with how you live. Doesn't have anything to do with what you've done in the past, what you're doing today, or what you will do tomorrow. So many times Christianity is presented as something you do in order to turn from your sins. Well, I would implore you to get saved and then worry about turning from your sin, because nobody ever has. Say, well, you don't know all I've done. Doesn't matter what you've done. Don't matter what you're doing. It doesn't matter what you're going to do. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, Paul said, of whom He was chief. Paul was a murderer. You understand? He was a murderer. I don't know, some churches want to have the big sins and little sins, but I'd say murder would be right at the top of the list. That's the worst thing you can do a person. And Paul was saved. And we're saved by the same gospel Paul was saved by. So it doesn't matter what you've done in the past. I can't live the life. Doesn't matter whether you can live the life. Jesus Christ's life is what He gave for you. Salvation is a free gift. Receive it. Accept it. I don't understand everything there is. No, the gospel is simple. Paul said to the Corinthians, he said, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, that you should be corrupted from the simplicity of the gospel. The gospel is simple. It's plain. It's clear. trust Him this morning, God will save you for Christ's sake. I thank you for being with us today. I appreciate those that have tuned in over the internet. And we're going to sign off here on Facebook. And what we're going to do is we're going to stand and have prayer. And this will be our blessing, our asking the blessing. And we're going to do it a little different now. Usually we go down this hall and go up through that way. We're not going to do that. We're going to go through the fellowship, or through the door over here, and through the fellowship, into the fellowship hall through this door. And I think the ladies got that cleared by the elders. I'm not sure, but it is a change. But seriously, that step out there in that hall is very difficult for some people to maneuver. It's kind of a steep step. So please stay. I hope everybody will stay and eat. We have plenty of food, and I appreciate you being here today. Let's stand and have prayer. Father, we thank you today for this opportunity we've had to open your word once again and see the glorious truth of the ministry of our apostle, the Apostle Paul, and the glorious truth of your death, burial, and resurrection, and how that you died for our sins. You were buried and you rose again the third day. And Lord, if there are those listening that have never trusted you as their Savior, I pray that this would be the very moment that they would, by faith, simply believe that you did die for their sins. You shed your blood. You paid for them. And simply by believing that and trusting in that, they can be saved. It's not by works, but by faith alone. And I pray that they might receive you today for Christ's sake. And for us that are saved and know that we're saved, help us to be ambassadors of your glorious grace, that we might know the truth and share the truth with others. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, we're dismissed.